genuinely just thinking of some way to not make this sound like I thought about it. Hey, I'm Dibs, and welcome to Sibling Rivalry Disorder, a podcast discussing everything from Craig David to David Bowie, with an eye to finding out if people from the same family, house, schools and town can actually completely agree on anything. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. Great. I'm also very impressed that you got that in one take.
Well, what can I say? I can read.
Well done. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. I don't know whether we mentioned doing a weekly news thing. I think it would be funnier if it was fairly local. I say fairly, I mean like UK-based. And, you know, sometimes you get those ridiculous stories on the news about somebody's hamster fell off the wheel or something really stupid.
I love that you went with that, because I was about to interrupt you and say somebody's goldfish escaped.
I just think that will be better. And I was charmed, should we say, by a news story that was on Anglia News this week about people building snowmen. Like, that's big news in England. There's not normally enough snow to build a snowman with.
I tried building a snowman. There was actually plenty in Cornwall, but the snow would not stick to the snow.
Sand.
No. I went to go and make a sandy snowman, and it wasn't an option because the tide was slamming against the sea wall. So we were on big plains of grass with lots and lots of snow, and I rolled and rolled my snowball as much as I could. I managed to get it to about the size of a football, or a soccer ball if you're American.
Don't do that. Don't pander.
Whatever. It was about the
what
size
a load of
a football.
Rubbish, or trash, if you prefer.
That is so staying in. Yeah, it got to about the size of a football, but only with me holding it against my body and pressing as I might. And then Oliver insisted I threw it in the air and smashed it.
I don't think people who live at the seaside, such as yourself, have any room to moan, to be honest. Like, all year round, you've got something sort of semi-pliable and soft to build things with.
I'm not moaning, I just found it intriguing how the snow wouldn't stick to the snow.
That was like one of the main bits on the story, was that people were building snowmen on the beach in Lowestoft and stuff like that. Like, wow, there's snow on the beach. And yeah, there's snow f***ing everywhere. Although there isn't anymore, but no. Last week.
You actually had it for a week. We had a day and a half.
In fairness, we didn't have it for a week. It started on Monday and it probably snowed about 20 times between Monday and Wednesday night, but it wouldn't sit. You couldn't have built a snowman.
Yeah.
But it snowed just enough to stop it from turning into that nasty slush that then freezes and then you fall on your ass doing the school run. So, you know, that was a result, but the real snow didn't really happen until, like, I think it was Friday.
See, if you'd have said ass then, I wouldn't have needed to use the bleep machine, but you just got the first bleep in this time.
How is ass not swearing? Unless I was talking about a donkey, which I clearly wasn't. If I fell on my donkey in the snow, you know, poor thing.
But that's how the people that decide what is decent, they consider the word ass to mean a donkey pretty much in all cases. Even if you say, I had my hand on my ass. Whereas when you say ass, like we do, they think you've got your finger up your bottom. So you're getting bleeped, and now I'm getting bleeped as well.
There was one snowman that was a snow bunny, and it actually looks pretty cool. Not like, it doesn't look like an actual rabbit, don't get me wrong, it's cartoonified, if you like. But it's massive. The dude that built it is stood next to it, and he's only having to bend a little bit. It's bloody huge. And that's in Bedfordshire, which is where I am, so I find that interesting. You probably don't, and probably Hannah doesn't, but yeah. Sorry, Hannah.
Hey, Hannah. I can't even respond to that. I haven't seen any local news of snow.
Well, most of it was, like, bad, which is why I found that to be interesting. Not all doom and gloom, which is, let's face it, usually what the news is.
Yeah.
So that was quite nice for a pleasant change, something a bit silly.
I did find it quite amusing when I had to ring EE about my broadband, and the automated message says, sorry, some of our staff couldn't get into work today, please try again tomorrow.
Look out the window, if it's still snowing, don't bother your ass. Ass!
Yeah.
Yeah. topic for today that I thought might be quite nice is how many projects should a person have on the go at any one time? This is inspired by a family trait of ours to take on lots and lots of things all at the same time. And does it actually work? What do you think?
Repeat the... How have you worded that?
What, the subject?
Yeah.
How many projects should a person have on the go at any one time?
Enough to keep you busy, but not enough to flood you. But I don't know, there's not a number. There's some people can manage one, and some people, like Hank and John Green, have like 900 things going on at any one time each. And
yes,
I imagine that they're helped out by a team of people. But yeah, it's whatever you're capable of maintaining. I guess the real question is, how do you know how many is too much for you?
See, I look at it a different way. For me, if you've got 8 or 9 different projects on the go and they're all completely different, separate ideas, and you're working on them all at the same time, are you really actually getting anything done? You're not going to complete any one of those things very quickly, because you'll do a bit of this and then you'll move on to the next bit. So you'll get like 25% done of all of them in a year. And then, you know, like, is it advisable to do that, or would it just be better to pick one and do that? That's the viewpoint I'm coming from here.
It depends on what they are, because if one of your projects is knitting and you can come back from the last stitch a year later and continue as normal, then I see no problem with that. And with...
That depends. If you're knitting a cardigan for a baby that's going to be born in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know? but this is what you have to do if you are going to attack more than one project at a time, is to prioritize them in the right way. And timely is one of the things you need to prioritize. If something needs to be done in a timely fashion, then you need to prioritize that one. And then from there, you can figure out how much time you're going to have to attack any others. And if there's anything that suits, that fits the gap, like one of the other projects, or several of the other projects that I am working on at the moment, the vast majority of them are research based.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still researching stuff now from scripts that I've already written 6 months ago. My biggest problem is deciding at what point that's finished. I'm not in a hurry to do that, because it's the creative process is the thing that is my project, really. The production and release of the videos is the project, rather than... It's not like I'm attempting to create YouTube videos as a career. I'm attempting to create YouTube videos because I decided to take on some creative projects that were way out of my comfort zone.
That's where it becomes subjective, because you could argue, you know, like you were just saying, you could argue that the YouTube project, it's divided into so many different areas that you could name all of those different areas as different projects, or you could go the other way and say, well, actually, this podcast is fairly creative, the YouTube channel is, and, you know, various other projects, they're all creative, so they're all one project. It's all highly subjective. With me, I'm obviously writing as in books for the most part, but occasionally I'll get a little itch where I want to do something else, and it's still technically writing if I write a script, and it's still a story, but it's an entirely separate project in my mind, just the same as one book is an entirely separate project from another. But
I kind of agree. No, I wholeheartedly agree, but there's projects within projects. So I have, at the moment, 8 videos that I'm working on scripts for, and each of those 8 are a project within the project of making my brand of video. But those will pass and others will come in their place. So I would consider each of those things to be a project, but I would hold them under the umbrella of making videos.
Yeah.
But also, I'm still really teaching myself to animate. I've been teaching myself to animate for a year, but being rubbish at drawing...
He's not lying.
No, I'm not lying. But yeah, being rubbish at drawing and new to the software that I'm using, it's still a learning curve, and I still, like, I'm now editing what would be the 5th podcast that I'm editing, and I'm still learning stuff about that. Even though I've spent 40 or 50 hours doing it, I could do that for 500 hours and still be learning things. But it's that.
That's what makes it interesting.
I like doing this. This is, as I said before, way out of our out of my comfort zone. And although it's not, I'm enjoying doing it, so it's not uncomfortable, but it's not something that I have a CV full of experience in doing, or anything close to anything that I've done before. The most creative thing I've done until this point is spraying, paint spraying. So
yeah, you did have a little go at writing in your younger years.
I've written quite a lot, but not for other people. I write because I like sitting there and writing, and occasionally some of it will get read by nearest and dearest. But
although you are a published writer,
I am a published poet of all things.
Yeah, I find that hilarious.
So do I, because it took me about 45 seconds to write the poem. It's just like, oh look, a competition.
What can I say? If you're good at limericks, sometimes the urge just takes over.
I'm terrible at limericks. Limericks don't work for me, but yeah.
What about haikus?
I couldn't come up with a haiku off the top of my head, but I do enjoy reading haiku.
That's one of the punishments on our list. I don't know if you noticed I'd added that one.
I had noticed it. I'm hoping I don't have to come up with that live. Or I might just sit down at some point in the next day or two and come up with one so I can pretend it's live.
Yeah, but I'm going to make that difficult for you, because I'm going to give it, there's going to be something that has to be included in there or something like that, or, you know, vice versa. You would do the same for me so that we can't cheat, because that's bad.
Okay.
Anyway, we've strayed. We've defined what we would consider to be a project or what we wouldn't and stuff. The second part that sort of links into that is, does multitasking even exist, really? That's what you would say you were doing if you had... If you're juggling three or four different projects, you would be multitasking, but in fact, you're not actually working on...
Yeah.
Any two of them at exactly the same
time. Anytime anybody tells me that a woman is better at multitasking than men, I point out that they're not doing more than one job at any one time, or they're screwing up both.
There are exceptions to the rule.
Yeah, though. You can breathe and walk.
You know, you can read on the toilet. That is multitasking, but those things are rare.
No, a lot of people read on the toilet.
No, I mean actual things that are actually multitasking are rare.
There are things that you can do simultaneously, but you can't sit there and write a piece of music and write a novel at the same time. And if you attempt it, the music and the novel will both be shockingly bad.
They might be anyway, if you did them one at a time, in fairness, but yeah, why risk it?
I think if I attempted both of those things at the same time, I think that might improve them. Maybe not the writing, but definitely the music.
You say that, you know, you walk and breathe or whatever it was at the same time, but some people seem to find that difficult.
Yeah, some people find driving a manual car difficult. Sorry, stick shift.
Some people find the act of listening difficult. And I just don't understand why. I'm with Billy Connolly on this one. Listening happens in spite of you.
Yeah.
How can you not? But, yeah, there are people out there that seem to be capable of just shutting down completely.
Yeah.
And for them, multitasking.
And in a multitude of ways. Some people, when they're not listening, are blank-faced and look like they're listening. And other people... just refuse.
Men, usually.
I resent that.
Not to be sexist, but men are very good at looking like they're listening when they're not.
Yeah, we are. But that's because we have the nothing box that women don't have.
I think Dad would probably argue that.
Yeah, I believe wholeheartedly that women are incapable of not thinking about something, whereas men literally can. Do you know the best way I could describe not thinking about anything is you're looking at the back of your own eyeballs.
The thing is, if you've noticed yourself not thinking, then you're thinking.
You notice you were not thinking when somebody shakes you out of it. Normally, the fifth time of asking you where the keys are.
Possibly. So, do we agree on this subject or not? I'm not really sure.
I'm not sure if there is anything to agree. On the how much is too much is how I would take your original question. And you just have to find your own way of, can you fit all of this in?
Highly subjective.
But with the multitasking thing, people will treat it as if it's subjective and claim that they are multitasking, but I think on the most part it's
they're lying to themselves.
that's how I would play that.
I had a thought the other day. This is completely, you know, going in a completely different
Surely
direction
not.
Yeah, Clichés. How does a cliché become a cliché? And if we can figure that out, most importantly, can we make one?
No.
Why?
I think time is how something becomes cliché. It's also how things become uncliché and how things become taboo and untaboo.
Let me rephrase then. Can we make a cliché and possibly not be alive to see it become a cliché? If it takes, you know, 70 years. But I don't think it does take that long. Particularly if you're somebody in the public spotlight, something you say can become so commonplace incredibly quickly. Like chipstick. Do you remember there was a phase where everybody called everyone a chipstick because of what's her face?
No, but I was thinking of that Cash Outside girl or whatever she's called. How about that? Suddenly, how about that appeared everywhere.
And computer says no.
I think that
from Little Britain.
That's maybe a little less cliche, but I don't know. It's you. I don't think you can make one because I think the thing that makes it cliche. I mean, I'm not saying we won't make one, but I don't think it's the sort of thing you can do on purpose. Like when they were writing that Little Britain sketch. I don't think the whole computer says no, I don't think that is the thing that they thought was going to be the memorable thing from that scene, if you know what I mean.
I don't know. They repeated it, and usually you
it's Little Britain. It was the same show every week, just with different people stood in different places. But it's, I don't think, if you'd have asked them before the first series aired, what do you think is going to be the most memorable thing from this show? The only gay in the village would have probably come up. But, I don't think the computer says no would. And the same with the it crowd. Have you tried turning it off?
You mean the IT crowd?
I think if you'd have asked the writers there why they went with the have you tried turning it off and on again thing, they'd have just said that's just what IT people say, isn't it? I don't think they'd have actually thought that was going to be the thing that became the tagline. I may be wrong.
I don't know. But I think it's entirely doable. You just have to be in the public spotlight.
Yeah, we're away from that.
That works.
That works for me. Just became Britain's newest cliché.
I can live with that.
No, I don't think you can deliberately make a cliché. But you're right, they can catch on quicker. I don't know if that's a cliché, though. That might just be a
clee phrase or a phrase, The same as Bruce Forsyth and, nice to see you, see
it's
you
a
nice.
Catchphrase rather than a cliché.
But then it becomes cliché because it gets so overused and...
Yeah.
You know, like, it. Nice to see you nice is definitely a phrase I would avoid writing in my writing because cliches are to be avoided at all costs. They make the writing boring, it sounds sloppy.
Lazy,
To a degree, it must be a cliche if it fits into that rule, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, unless you're directly quoting somebody.
I've just noticed, I was just scrolling through our list, and on here, a lot further up the list than the subject I just brought up, is just the word cliché. And it was added by you, as far as I can tell.
Well, I can't see it.
Anything it's above is a hot dog sandwich.
Which I'm still not answering. Yeah, maybe I did put that in there.
Any thoughts?
Why did I put cliché in the doc? I don't know. It was probably Christmas. No, I think my angle of cliché was probably more one of, do you get offended at them? Do you avoid using them? Or do you think they're a fun and interesting development of language?
I'm sorry, offended by them?
Yeah, they're generally stupid, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
Name one. Give me an example so I know what I'm working with here.
Well, any cliché that's kind of written on the tin.
Like written on the tin?
Yeah, exactly.
Except it does what it says on the tin, but I get that.
I suppose the thing that makes it a cliché is its repetitiveness or its ease of repetitiveness, but the thing that I would say is potentially offensive is its ability to seem lazy, as we were saying about the writing.
And it's true, but my understanding of what a cliche actually is, for the most part anyway, they're things that wouldn't make any sense on their own, but somehow they make someone you're trying to communicate with see exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's like, almost...
does what it says on the tin. Now, anybody in America that's never seen the Ron Seal advert that says it does exactly what it says on the tin might not have a clue what we're talking about.
I don't know.
You could guarantee everybody in England.
Don't know. I think Ron Seal probably used it because it was a cliche. I think that was cliche already. I don't know, but that is my suspicion.
A cliche is there to paint a picture much more easily, like dark, stormy sky.
Like Ron Seal Woodstein.
You wouldn't.
This episode brought to you by Ron Seal.
No. A dark and stormy sky. Like,
yeah.
That's lazy. You could describe that in so many other ways, but in speech, the moment you say those words, everybody knows exactly what you're talking about without having to think about it or try and picture it. It's just ready-made.
I suppose what it kind of does is offer context. Used in the right way, it offers context.
I should have said it was a dark and stormy night. That would have been a better example, but you know, it's laziness.
It is.
But it's useful. I can't see anybody ever getting offended if I said, oh, it was a dark and stormy night. This is what I'm struggling to get with grips with here. How could anybody possibly be offended?
I don't know.
You know, if it was a cliche that was offensive, then okay, I get that. But just cliches in general.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember what's on the Google Doc now. There's a few things on here that are intriguing me, but they weren't added by me.
Go so for it. I didn't put them on there for me to use. I put them, like, you took offence when I went to use one of yours before, but I will not do the same.
No, it's not that. It's a lot of these things that we've written down here, we know what they mean, apart from you and cliche, obviously.
Most of mine are like that. You can ask me why I put them in there.
But they make nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. I'm scrolling through and thinking, oh, I wonder what that's all about. Oh, here's one here that I think you did actually put on the list, but it was a discussion brought up by me. Why are some men's clothes sexy on women? Remember having that discussion?
Yes.
Like, why would a lady wearing your dress shirt the night after the party, getting up, going to the breakfast, going to the kitchen to make you breakfast wearing your dress shirt? Why is that sexy? But if she picked up your hoodie off the floor and put that on, that wouldn't...
I wouldn't say that the hoodie wouldn't be in the first place, but the meme is there's nothing sexier than a woman wearing her man's clothes. It's like a flag over a conquered fortress or something like that.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Nice to know misogynistic people are gone and buried in this day and age.
I didn't make the meme. I'm just...
Honestly, the woman was cold and she put on her shirt and you think you've conquered her.
I'm just telling you about the meme. I didn't make it.
I'm talking to the dude that wrote the meme. It was clearly a dude.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I don't think there is a why. I think sexy is a subjective thing. I think the attractiveness of it just comes from it. I don't know. It's like a it's so wrong but it's so right thing. Like if you
see, but it only works on men. This is where that whole thing came from. Like,
yeah, Charlotte caught me in her bra once. That did not go well.
Yeah, exactly my point. If I've been to drag clubs, not a drag club, like a, what do they call them? You know, where, like...
A cabaret
bar? I don't
know
which word to use. No. A what?
A cabaret bar? I don't know.
Now, see, that's more insulting than saying just a gay bar, like I was trying to avoid saying. Anyway.
What does Pink Panthers call itself?
A gay bar as far... Well, I don't really know. That's why I was searching for a phrase that wasn't picking on any one gender-specific group of people. For the sake of argument, let's call it a gay lesbian bar.
LGBT bar.
That's what I was looking for, yes. And obviously you will get men dressed in women's clothes and, you know, everything else in between. I don't think I've ever, and no disrespect to them, if they're having fun, crack on, they're usually a good laugh. But I never have looked at one and thought, that man looks lovely in that dress. Ooh, that really does it for me.
although the hair doesn't do it for me, I do find Paul O'Grady much more attractive when he's dressed as Lily Savage. Paul O'Grady looks like a man.
Paul O'Grady has got the body of, like, a woman when he's in a dress, because he's skinny and, you know, all that. Well, I say a woman. I'm not skinny. He's got the body of a skinny woman.
Yeah, you're just all out to offend everybody today.
In fairness, I've clearly just said I'm fat, so if you want to take offence at me calling someone skinny, sorry, but get over it. Anyway, even if Paul O'Grady, I know that this is a weird scenario now, but if Paul O'Grady was my boyfriend... Oh my god, we're so skating on thin ice.
I think this whole section's been cut.
No! Alright, I'll try and think of a different way to word it then. Let me put it in another way.
Please do.
a stag do, right? Your stag do.
Yeah, I looked hot on my stag do.
You thought you looked hot, right? But there was you and Chris and Cole and...
To be fair, I couldn't see me. Looked like E.T. There was me and my friends.
You and your friends, which included some of the younger fraternity and some of the older fraternity and all that stuff. And there wasn't a single one of you that I thought, you don't look half bad.
What, not even my boss?
I love
beauty's in the high of high. Beauty's in beauty's in the high of the magic mushroom. No,
there's another cliche.
Yeah, I just made one. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You have no right questioning what men find attractive any more than we have, or not. You have right to question if we find something attractive, but not why. And we likewise with you.
Why not? I didn't realise we lived in an oppressed, you know, country where you couldn't say what was on your mind.
To phrase it better, you have no right not understanding or even attempting to understand what a man finds attractive, and we will never understand. Like, what my wife finds attractive about me, I could not tell you. I've questioned her on it.
Nor me. And I'm a woman.
I've conducted, like, one man, good cop, bad cop.
That doesn't really work, dude.
it does. Have you not seen the Lego movie? I have no idea what... I know what pictures women will put on Facebook and say, oh, man, look at Tom Hardy with his top off type stuff. I know what they're looking at, but... At no point have I ever seen Tom Hardy with his top off and thought, whoa. It's just
in
not me.
In fairness, though, I don't ever look at Tom Hardy and think, whoa. And I am a woman. I'm not just questioning manhood and what they find attractive here. I question everyone, male, female.
Yeah, that might be because Tom Hardy apparently looks like your brother. No, seriously, I did not know who Tom Hardy was. I'm not a big
Hannah,
movie buff.
He's telling you malicious, spiteful
lies. Hannah can... I don't care what Hannah thinks, but I've had like 5 or 6 people.
Don't scare her off. She's the only one we've got.
Hannah, come back. I've had several people tell me that not only do I look like him, especially when I've had my hair cut short, but also that I sound like him, that my mannerisms are like him.
I remember in years gone by, several people, well, so you told me, several people telling you that you look like Brad Pitt and you don't look anything like him either.
Yeah, I think that was because Brad Pitt and I both had a goatee kind of thing at the same time.
I've seen him in a dress. Not attractive either. Just for the record.
Why have you seen him in a dress?
There was a picture doing the rounds on the internet a while ago. It was like a purple glittery thing. Hannah, if you've seen it, let me know. It was
a purple glittery number by Gucci.
It was like purple sequiny kind of thing.
What about David Beckham in his dress or his skirt or whatever it was?
A sarong.
Yeah.
Didn't really pay much notice.
Too busy looking into his eyes.
Not really. He was far too young then.
I forgot you like old men.
That's it, tell the world.
You just did.
Yes, but that could have been just a passing statement. You could have let go. Just have a little giggle and move on. No. By the way, if you're like 60 plus and
don't
suddenly
get in
think,
touch.
Oh, yeah. Do get in touch if you have something to say, but don't get in touch and send me a picture of something nasty. Particularly you in a dress. I'm just not interested. Thank you. Anyway, I'm going to throw the attention your way for a minute. You added to meme or not to meme, which has a sort of tedious link with what we were just talking about, but I don't know what you mean. So
I think when I put that there, the only question I had in mind was, what are your thoughts on memes?
They're there.
They definitely are. But I more meant like the overly attached girlfriend.
Yeah.
The same picture with 90 million different texts over it. One of the things I like about Reddit is the fact that you get memes, or you seem to get new memes a lot more frequently. And I know there's meme editors you can go and put your own pictures on and what have you, but there's a meme goes viral and that's it. You will see the same thinking guy and the Mexican double X spear guy and all of that.
What's
the same guy over and over again.
That's going to drive me crazy now. I know exactly the meme I'm thinking of and I can't believe I've forgotten his name. The dude, you know, so strong. Like, that's what every meme is about him, like, eating people for breakfast and stuff. Weird stuff.
Chuck Norris. Chuck. You couldn't remember Chuck Norris's name. Chuck Norris already knows
clearly
that and is on his way to kill you.
I apparently haven't spent enough time on social media. Otherwise, I obviously would have seen a meme about Chuck Norris today. When they started, they were funny. And in all fairness, you're going to hate me for this, but I had no idea who Chuck Norris was when the meme started, and it quickly became apparent that this is what the internet thinks he is.
Do you know who he is now?
Not really. I know he's a dude, and that's about it, yeah. Not really that interesting.
He was in Bruce Lee movies and, way more importantly, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Never seen it. So, yeah, Chuck Norris doesn't really mean anything to me. Sorry, Chuck. But clearly, you know, you don't really need me. You've got everybody else on the internet going nuts. But they get to a point where it's like, enough now. You know, you've done this to death. No matter how many times you change the text, we get it. I know what you think about him. Even though I don't know who he is, I know what you think about him because I've seen that many memes. But equally, they can be quite amusing, particularly, you know, Facebook and Twitter, it's rife with people looking for an argument. And some of the funniest responses to those arguments are just a meme. They don't say anything at all. They just put the meme in there.
Much like GIF GIFs.
Yeah. By Felicia. That was another one that was doing the rounds for ages. And like everybody was saying it all the time. And it basically meant, you know, we really couldn't give a damn that you're going. But where that came from, absolutely no idea. Not
I don't know either. I've never heard that one.
Clearly, you've spent too much time with Chuck. But yeah, sometimes they're funny, but they do get kind of done to death when they do go viral. Everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Just leave it alone.
I think that was the funniest thing about the Chuck Norris one was that there was a billion of them.
And hardly any of them were funny.
Chuck Norris isn't afraid of death. Death is trying to keep away from Chuck Norris and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're just kind of there for me, you know. I'm not the kind of person
that... Do you use them? Do you mind them?
I was just going to say, I'm not the kind of person that would save one on my phone for later use.
I have a folder for use in videos that is nothing but memes on my desktop.
They're just there now. They're just an accepted part of the internet now. There. Same as GIFs or GIFs. It's a GIF for me.
Yes, we know.
Yeah, good. You're a nerd. Okay, I just called you a nerd, and I found definition of a nerd in our Google Docs, which was put there by you. I assume you were going to ask me what I thought the definition of a nerd was.
Yeah, that one came about just because some people who are clearly nerdy people seem to take offence at the idea of being a nerd, and I love the fact that I'm a nerd. I think it's something to celebrate.
Yes, and then there's the other side of the coin where you can walk into New Look and buy a t-shirt that says nerd on the front, and you get some of the stupidest people in the world going in and buying that because it's suddenly cool to be a nerd. It's bizarre, but that's where we're at in the timeline right now. It's changed.
Can you be a hipster and a nerd at the same time? Because we were nerdy before it was cool.
I know, but apparently, yeah, that's the thing now. If you wear all them clothing items, you know, socks and hats and t-shirts and stuff with a pair of glasses on the front, all of that, like, that would have been the definition of a nerd once upon a time, if you wore glasses. It's something as simple as that. I'm talking, like, school age here.
Yeah.
The time you're most likely to get called a nerd.
Or a pocket organiser.
No, that would do it, but... Something as simple as not having very good eyesight suddenly means you're a nerd. The stupidest one I ever came across when I was at school was if you wore your backpack, if you had both straps on instead of just holding it on one shoulder, you were a nerd.
What about a geek?
Well, to me, they're kind of interchangeable, really. They're the same thing for me.
Yeah,
geek,
I think
boffin,
so. I don't know.
Boffin. Poindexter.
Boffin. Definitionally is a scientist, isn't it?
I think it's just someone that knows stuff.
That's one of the words that the Daily Mail loves to throw in when they're trying to come up with some proof against climate change or something. The
boffins, but they also called Sherlock Holmes boffin.
I don't think you could question his ability to do science, though.
Well, the dictionary definition of boffin is a person engaged in scientific or technical research, or a person with knowledge or a skill considered to be complex or arcane.
Fair enough. We're both right. They come in hand and never happens.
Very rarely.
Normally, we're both wrong. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Yes? No? Nope, you're both wrong.
No, it isn't. I'm not going into this again.
Yes. I don't care.
Well, I do.
Yes, we got that from the last podcast.
So I suppose, really, the definition of a nerd could simply be
geek.
Absolutely nothing. No, it could be absolutely nothing to do with mental capacity. It's a
Never thought it did have. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a perceived
mental capacity.
Definitionally perceived of somebody else's mental capacity.
More or less, yeah. I mean, like, I would probably call myself a geek or a nerd simply because it's been put on me to think that way from school. But I probably wouldn't ever have described anybody else as a geek or a nerd unless I knew they would welcome it, you know, like you.
Yeah.
Ah, this is interesting. Apparently the dictionary definition of geek doesn't agree with us at all.
No, that's more a comic booky based thing, is it?
Well, the noun is an unfashionable or socially inept person, but the verb usage is engage in or discuss computer related tasks obsessively or with great attention to technical detail. Now, once upon a time, that is exactly what I would have called a nerd. You know, a computer nerd.
Yeah, so potentially...
But I would have used the word computer in front of it. I wouldn't have just called them a nerd.
Potentially, you can call a geek a nerd, but you can't call a nerd a geek, is essentially what
possibly.
I'm getting from that.
Let's see what nerd says.
Don't call anybody anything. Just everybody be nice to each other.
Living in a dream world, bro. Nerd, a foolish or contemptible person who lacks social skills or is boringly studious.
Are you sure you're not on the Urban Dictionary?
No, I'm on Google. Or a single-minded expert in a particular technical field. And, yeah, like, the first one is kind of exactly what the kids at school were taking to be the meaning of nerd.
I don't think nerds are socially inept.
But I don't think that's the definition, though. But they, as a result of being a nerd, they become socially inept.
Yeah, but I've been a
school.
Nerd all my life, but socially I am well-received.
Yeah, now.
Well, kind of always have been.
Well, I wasn't. I kept my head down and kept my mouth shut because you knew no matter what you'd said it was going to get twisted or you were just bringing more ridicule on yourself, so you turn inward.
I understand that is a reality for many people, but I don't know if I would say that kind. That definition only really sits with kids.
I don't know.
Because, I do.
It depends how smart we're talking.
If you're a Nobel laureate and you go to a dinner party to receive your medal, then there's 500 people in that room that are all there to attempt to socialise with the candidates for the Nobel Prize.
But to a degree, that's exactly the same as at school. Because even at school, there would have been a group of nerds that hung out together.
Yeah, I suppose. So
you were socialising with them, but not everybody else.
Yeah, so the reason you're socially inept is because society
has decided
good enough to deal with you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I didn't realise until we started doing this podcast how much of the dictionary I disagree with.
That it's there kind of, you know, makes you wrong.
And socially inept.
Apparently, I told you. You wanted to argue it. Okay.
I thought I was doing all right. Maybe I'm not a nerd or a geek.
No, you are.
I've just been fooling myself all these years.
You haven't. You certainly haven't been fooling anybody else.
I've got a poster behind me that says, keep calm and DFTBA. And I'm wearing glasses. That must qualify me as socially inept.
Apparently, yeah. So, we've had quite a chat. Any ideas for word of the week?
Cliche?
LGBT?
No.
Cross-dresser?
No, I know what the word of the week is.
What?
Ronseal, our sponsor.
Yeah, I'd run with that. It's not a word you would come across in everyday conversation. Let's see how many times we can squeeze it in throughout the week.
Yeah.
Fuck off. for now, I think it's probably time to do the wrap-up before Hannah falls asleep.
Yeah.
So, I'm the host, which means you get to be the one to hand out our social media details.
Oh, that's always fun. Nothing to mess up here. Okay, we'll see. Tweet us at... Thank you. You can tweet us at siblingrivalry8 or email siblingrivalrydisorder@gmail.com. And we're also on Instagram at siblingrivalrydisorder. And you can search for Sibling Rivalry Disorder on Facebook.
By all means, drop us a line, Hannah. We'd love to hear from you. Just to know you're actually still there.
Do you know how disappointed I'm going to be if we end up with lots of people listening to us and we never get an email
from a person called Hannah?
From somebody called Hannah.
I know. Do me a favour. If you are listening, just pretend your name is Hannah. Just this once.
Oh, don't do that. What did you do that for?
Why? I was trying to save you disappointment.
No, I actually want a Hannah.
Okay. I take it all back.
I hope my wife's not listening. Yeah, but it's too late.
That's all we've got time for, folks. No, only joking. Oh. How's that for a cliche? No, genuinely, we have all the time in the world. I'm just sick of talking to him, to be honest. So we'll see you later. Enjoy your evening, Paul.
See you later, bruv.
See you later, dude.
Bye, Hannah.
All right, 3, 2, 1. You dick.